So last night, we talked about how that we've come to the New Testament Pentecost, the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, after the Old Testament had a day of Pentecost. And you remember from the lamb that they shed its blood on Passover on the 14th of the first month until they arrived at Mount Sinai and got the old covenant? It was 50 days. And Pentecost means 50th. And it's 7 weeks plus one day. 7 times 7 is 49. They actually call the day of Pentecost the Feast of Weeks as well. And that's when God gave them the old covenant, on the day of Pentecost. But in the New Testament Pentecost, Jesus was the lamb that died and shed his blood for us. And 50 days after that, 50th means Pentecost, the new covenant was given. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four books that are in what we call the New Testament. But technically, the New Testament didn't begin until Jesus ascended up into heaven and, like a high priest, went into the holiest of holies and our sins were atoned for. Hallelujah. And it was after that that the day of Pentecost came and Jesus poured out the power of the Holy Ghost. And just like Moses came down from the mountain with the law and the Ten Commandments, Jesus poured down the power of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm going to show you also in the Word of the Lord is that Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I can feel that Holy Ghost just talking about it. Aren't you glad he sent the Holy Ghost, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. And our new covenant started then. That's when the first people were born again. Hallelujah. That's, you enter the kingdom by being born of the water and the Spirit. And that was the first day Peter preached about the water and the Spirit. He said, you've got to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's water. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Spirit. And 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name that day. And you know what's interesting? I didn't mention this last night. But in the Old Testament day of Pentecost, God gave them the commandments, and Moses told them that before they had them on stone. Moses went up again, and that's when he got them on stone. And then Moses went up a third time, because the first time he took the stones down, he broke them because the people already broke the first commandment and were worshiping a golden calf. So they broke the law, they broke the first commandment, so he broke the stones. And 3,000 people were killed that day because of worshiping the golden calf. Well, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were born again. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? What a difference between the Old and the New Covenants. And this weekend is about law versus grace. And the two trees in the garden are going to show us that. But I didn't mention this last night. Do you remember in verse 34 of Acts 2? Peter was preaching the first sermon filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, David is not ascended into the heavens. But talking about David, he said, he says himself, David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And that's when Jesus went up into heaven and he sat on the throne. Everybody say the right hand. And that verse was quoting Psalm 110 verse 1. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Peter said that happened. That prophecy happened. That's why you've got the Holy Ghost. We wouldn't have the Holy Ghost if he wasn't sitting on the throne. Do you know something? Jesus has been king for 2,000 years. Hallelujah. He's not going to be. He has been. He's on the throne. And not only that, Zechariah 6 and 13 says he shall be priest on his throne. Hallelujah, God. And there he is. And that right hand is talking about the throne. And I'm going to explain that. But notice verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And so when Moses went up to get the old covenant, he went up Mount Sinai on the day of Pentecost. But when Jesus brought the new covenant, he was sitting on the throne on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. And we have come to Zion, Hebrews 12 says. Remember the verse last night? Some weren't here, but Hebrews 12 says, we haven't come to a mountain that couldn't be touched by hands. We've come to Mount Zion. So he was telling us in Hebrews 12 and 22 that the old covenant had Mount Sinai, but the new covenant has Mount Zion. How many are glad we're in Zion tonight? Hallelujah, Lord. And it doesn't matter where we're in Kenora, Ontario now. Amen. I live in Portage of Prairie, Manitoba. I'm from Mississauga, Ontario. Amen. I met my wife in Nova Scotia. I pastored my first church in Newfoundland. But wherever so we came to Mount Zion. Now, if the law came down on the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament, and God gave the Old Covenant to Israel on Mount Sinai, and we are not come to Mount Sinai, but we've come to Mount Zion, Jesus sent down the Holy Ghost from Mount Zion up in heaven. Amen. On the same day of Pentecost, 1,500 years after Moses was on Mount Sinai, Jesus was on Zion, sending down the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful that when you just talk about it, you can feel the Holy Ghost? How many are glad this is something you can feel? Something you know is real. Hallelujah. In troubled times, we get a peace of mind. Amen. And we've got some hope to go through it all. And it's like the songwriter said, this joy I have within my heart, I just can't conceal. Because when he saved me, he gave me something I can feel. Let's clap unto him again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. And that's why Jesus being on Zion sent down the Holy Ghost, telling us in Psalm 110 verse 2, the Lord will send the rod of thy what? The rod of thy, everybody say it with me, strength, out of Zion. The Holy Ghost is the power and the strength that he sent to us from Mount Zion. So when you're reading about him being on the throne in Zion, and the Lord will send the rod of thy strength, that strength is the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that's why in Acts chapter 1, the very last words Jesus was talking to the disciples about when he ascended up into heaven was this. Think of it, the very last, we talked about the first impression, but last impressions are important too. So the last thing Jesus said to those disciples, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the rod of God's strength. That's the power he sent to us. And that'll make you witnesses unto me, unto Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise the name of Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is the rod of God's strength. And remember what right hand means? Power. Most people use their right hands. Jesus sat on the throne that was called the right hand. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, think of it. If he sent the Holy Ghost from his throne in heaven, he sat down and sent out the Holy Ghost from his kingdom throne, no wonder it's called power. It's kingdom power. It's Holy Ghost power. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. How many are glad we're in the kingdom of Jesus Christ right now? Matthew 26:64. Jesus says, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man, listen to it, sitting on the right hand of power. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that You know, the Father's sitting here, and on the Father's right hand, Jesus is sitting, and there's two of them up there. That's not what it means. It means he's on the only throne that exists in it. There's not two thrones. There's not three thrones. There's one throne. Hallelujah. And Jesus is sitting on it. Praise God. That's why in Revelation 22, when it says the throne of God and the Lamb is seen by John in a vision, you're reading about God and the Lamb. God and the Lamb. And it's the throne, one throne of God and the Lamb. And then it doesn't say they shall see their faces and they shall have their names on their foreheads. It says the throne of God and the Lamb causes them to see his face. Not their faces, his face. And his name, not their names. Because in chapter 21 of Revelation, it says, I saw no temple therein. For God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now remember what Jesus said when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And do you remember what they thought he was talking about? The temple of Herod. They said, Herod was 40-some years building this thing, and you're going to build it up in 3 days? It took him 40-some years to do this, and you said just 3 days? But this spake he of the temple of his body. And his body, he said, is the temple. And now when God dwelt in the temple of Solomon, how many know inside of that stone temple was God himself? Amen. God is a spirit. You can't see him. He's everywhere. He fills the universe. In fact, it says the heaven of heavens can't even contain him. He's bigger than the universe. And that body was a temple, and so when you see the body of Jesus, you're seeing God inside of a temple. That's why it says his face. Hallelujah. It's not two faces because it's the Father and the Lamb. It's his face because you can only see that body. Aren't you glad it's God manifested in the flesh tonight?
No, the Holy Ghost spoke to me this week getting ready for these messages. Hallelujah. Remember in Luke 24 and 47? I told you that he said you're going to receive power when you get the Holy Ghost the very day he was going to go up in heaven. He also said these words. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. You know, somebody once told me that Acts 2:38 is only for the Jews. And I said, no, sir, it's not. For one thing, he said it's for you and your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many had God call you? Amen. Then it's for you. But not only that, when Jesus told them to preach repentance, and Peter said repent, and he told them to preach remission of sins in his name, Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. So you got repentance, you got baptism in Jesus' name for remission, and you got the Holy Ghost. Jesus is telling them to preach that. And who did he tell them to preach it to? Just preach it to the Jews. Just preach it to Israel. No. He said in verse 47, I want you to preach it to all nations. You're just going to begin in Jerusalem, but it's going to bust out of Jerusalem, and it's going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. How many believe what Jesus said? It's for everybody. It's for everyone, not just the Jews. And there is so much Holy Ghost word here tonight about how all nations, Susan, you mentioned it, all nations, all nationalities, not just one race. Hallelujah. The only race God's looking at is the human race. Praise God. And we all have this. Amen. But notice, he said, you're going to get that promise, but tarry. What's another word for tarry? Wait. 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 Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Holy Ghost power. Now, everybody say, wait. Well, in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Look how much he's talking about comfort. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Somebody say comfort. In John 14 and 26, the comforter is the Holy Ghost. So he's telling Jerusalem, Jerusalem, be comforted, be comforted. And you speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Something about the Holy Ghost is what he's talking about. Now remember, he said you wait and you tarry in Jerusalem until you get the power of the Holy Ghost. And then in Isaiah 40, after we read that he said, speak comfortably, go down to the 9th verse, and here is the mountain that God brought us to. O Zion! Hallelujah! That brings good tidings. How many know the gospel started in Jerusalem? Amen. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. Somebody say Zion. That brings good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Power. You know what he's saying, Brother Gray? Lift up your voice with the Holy Ghost. Lift it up with power. When you get the Holy Ghost, you got anointing, and you got fire, and you got power. So lift up your voice with the anointing of the Holy Ghost and speak, hallelujah, and speak comfortably. Comfort, comfort. That's the Holy Ghost he's talking about. You see, when God gives you eyes to see and ears to understand, and you read the prophets, you see Jesus everywhere. You see the blood, the cross. You see the Holy Ghost. And God opened my eyes to this, and getting ready for this message this week, I had never seen that before. Aren't you glad God speaks to us our entire lives? It doesn't matter how long you live. I've been saved over 50 years, and praise God, almost 50 years, to get ahead of myself. I don't need to get ahead of myself at this age. And every week I hear something from the Holy Ghost right in that Bible I have never noticed. And by the way, if you
ever get something and you think it's from God and it's not in the Bible, it's not from God. The Spirit and the Word agree. And people have told me they've got revelations from God, but it's not in the Bible. I say, well, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend you. But you can take your revelation and go somewhere else because it's not of God. It's got to be in the book. Hallelujah. And says, be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. And then down in verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come again with a strong hand. Somebody say the right hand. And his arm, hallelujah, the right hand, shall rule. The throne is called the right hand throne. Shall rule, for behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And then in verse 28, this is the same chapter he spoke about comfort. How many remember this verse? You come to some verses now, everybody remembers. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. How many know he never gets weary and he never faints? He giveth power. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. He gives power to the faint. He doesn't get weary. So he, who's got no tiredness, gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth, the strongest young people, the strongest part of humanity are the youth. They get the most strength at that young age. But even the youth will faint eventually, and they'll be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that what? Wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait there. You're going to get the power. They that wait. They that tarry, and oh hallelujah, the apostles really learned that firsthand because they waited on the day of Pentecost. They waited almost, it was over a week, all these days since Jesus went up, and like our pastor Gary said, they didn't know when he was going to come. They just kept waiting. Maybe some left, who knows, but they kept waiting, hallelujah. And he says, you wait on the Lord, and you will renew your strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then it says, just like God, they'll run and not be weary. Don't you know the Lord doesn't get weary? They'll walk and not faint. Don't you know the Lord doesn't faint? And so when he says, God doesn't get weary, and God doesn't faint, and he says, you, if you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength, and you'll run and not be weary, you'll walk and not faint, and he'll give you eagle's wings. And so just like Israel was given eagle's wings to go to Mount Sinai to get the old covenant, I bear you up on eagle's wings. The Holy Ghost, eagle's wings, gave us power. And those disciples were waiting in the upper room. Amen. Looking, what time is it? When's this going to happen? I don't know. But Peter, I know you want to preach repentance. Peter, I know you want to preach remission of sins in his name. But he said, wait until you get the power. Don't start preaching yet. Just hold your tongue. I meant that he was biting his tongue. He wanted to preach it. Looking at each other and said, I can't wait till this power comes. Because I'm fit to be tied. I gotta preach what Jesus told us. It's beginning. No one ever preached it before. We're gonna begin. Somebody say begin. We're gonna begin to preach this. And so they were just holding on. And they were waiting. And when the Holy Ghost came, that was eagle's wings. That was power. Hallelujah. But the difference between the old covenant people who got eagle's wings to take them to Mount Sinai and the new covenant people is like, we got the eagle power in us. They just had it carry them, but we got it in us. The Holy Ghost is the dove, hallelujah. But could there be a little message there that it's like the eagle of God inside of us? We mount up with wings as eagles. We run and we don't get weary. We walk and we don't faint. We can't do that in the natural. Hallelujah. And that's why the Holy Ghost will give us power to do what we naturally can't do. It's the power that they waited on in the New Testament day of Pentecost. Wings as eagles was the Spirit leading. The wings of eagles is the Holy Ghost leading Israel. Remember that pillar of fire? Fire by night, cloud by day. And when the night was cold and dark, the Holy Ghost was warmth and light with the fire. And when the day was so hot and sweating, the power of God was a shadow of a cloud giving them. You see, the world will throw this at you and that at you. But when you've got the power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. If you're in the cold middle of the night, He'll give you light and warmth. Praise God. If you're in the heat of the day, He'll give you shelter and protection. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why people with the Holy Ghost can go through hard times that other people can't. Because they get power. That when they run, they won't get weary. When they walk, they won't get faint. That's nothing but the Holy Ghost. Woo! Let's thank God for the power that He's given us. Hallelujah. And that led them to Sinai. But we are filled with it on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. Now look at this. There's the veil that blocked people from seeing the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest of holies. That veil was a barrier. Oh, hallelujah. And then, when Jesus died, the veil ripped open. The very moment He died, that veil ripped open. And what? It wasn't there when Jesus died. But normally, the Ark of the Covenant would have been behind that veil. But it wasn't there when Jesus died. And one time I was preaching this to our congregation in Portage, and a brother filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, "Brother, God just showed me something." I said, "What, brother?" He said, "It wasn't meant to be there when the veil was open, because God was trying to tell them, God's done with temples made with hands." Hallelujah. He wants temples of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. And when the real heaven, the real holiest was opened, amen, the book of Revelation even says, "I saw the temple of heaven open, and I saw the Ark of the Covenant." It's talking about the throne that Jesus sat on. That's the throne. Amen. It's not on the earth anymore. Jesus is going to sit up into heaven, and He's going to sit on the real mercy seat, which is the throne of God. And from that mercy seat, He's going to send power. Do you remember what happened when the people were arguing in the Exodus who the priest should be? Remember Nadab and Abihu? And remember, not Nadab and Abihu, Korah, Dathan, and Abihu. They said, "We all should be priests. Who do you think you are, Moses?" And then God says, "Moses, tell them each one to get the rod from their tribe. I want them to scribe their name on that rod. Get Judah's rod. Get Levi's rod. Get Naphtali's rod. Get Reuben. Get all of them. I want all 12 of the tribes." He says, "Give me your rods." And then He says, "I'm going to go into the holiest of holies in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm going to lay every one of these rods down in front of this ark. And God's going to show you who the priests are." And Moses didn't have a chance to cheat and maybe go in the middle of the night, take out one rod and put one. Because the next morning, the rod of Levi had some very supernatural signs on it that nature can't produce. The rod of Levi just didn't have buds. How many know what comes after the buds come? The flower. The buds are gone, then there's the flower. And then the flower is gone, and then there's the fruit. And these rods were almond rods, so it was almond fruit. And here they looked, and the rod of Aaron not only had buds, but at the same time, it had flowers. Nature can't do that. No, Moses couldn't have tricked them by doing fine. I got to find a branch of rod that has flowers, buds, and fruit all at once. Nature can't do that. It's one after the other. But he saw, and he pulled it out, and there was buds, there was flowers, and there was almonds, and he showed the people, "Look who God said is the tribe." And then that settled all the arguments. Amen. That's how Korah, David, and Abiram shut up for the time being. The troublemakers. But from that Ark of the Covenant came a power that I can only describe as resurrection power. Because those were dead pieces of wood. Those were dead sticks. And God took that one rod of Aaron that was dead and he resurrected him, but he just didn't give him natural life. How many know Elijah raised a boy from the dead once? But he still only had natural life. The boy died later when he became a man, an old man. And then Elijah, he raised another boy from the dead, but he didn't get supernatural life. He just had natural life again. And Lazarus, he died and Jesus even raised him, but he still never had immortal life because his body was going to die. Well, this rod had supernatural life. This rod resurrected. And how many know in Romans 6 and 9, Jesus, when he resurrected, dieth no more. Death hath no more power over him. Lazarus still had death power over him because he died as a man. Those boys, anyone raised from the dead before Jesus, died again. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. When he died, his body had no more power of death over it anymore. His body became immortal. This mortal put on immortality. That corruptible put on incorruption. And how many are glad it's going to happen to us one day? Hallelujah. The trumpet's going to sound, and this mortal is going to be like just like Jesus and put on immortality. Hallelujah. This mortal, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. That's the only way I can describe that rod of Aaron coming to life. With the buds, the flowers, and the fruit all at the same time. Oh, let's praise God for resurrection life. And long before Jesus would go to the cross, long before he would be buried, and long before he would go to that throne that the Ark of the Covenant symbolized, he sent power from that ark and made that rod resurrect into immortality. That was a message to us. In the new covenant. It was during the old covenant, but he was given a message of what's going to happen for people in the new covenant. Oh, he was giving us a message that there would come a power one day on the day of Pentecost, and it would fill us with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that same power that raised up Jesus from the dead would quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. By the power of God inside of us. And praise God, folks. One of these days we're going to hear that trumpet. And this body's never going to get all my hair back. All you gray white hairs are all going to turn back to what they used to be. I got some crow's feet. Those crows are going to stop walking by my eyes because it's all going to go again one day. And we're going to be in our prime. Television. His little baby girl had died of sickness. And when he had a vision of heaven, he saw a beautiful blonde woman walk to him. Daddy, he said, Daddy, I'm your little girl. I can't remember, Sarah or something. And he showed them in the resurrection. There's not going to be little kids and little people. It's all going to be the prime of what God created us to be. And we're going to be like that for all eternity. Hallelujah. Aaron is coming back. Praise God. Let's praise him right now. Remember the veil that hid that ark? Make a veil of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. Cherubims. And in Genesis 3 and 24, the first time you ever read of cherubims is when God drove man out of the garden and placed at the entrance of the garden, the east entrance, cherubims. And a flaming sword which turned every way to protect and keep the way of the tree of life. So there it is. There's the veil. It ripped open. And there's the ark. You know what God's trying to show us? Is that God was going to open the Garden of Eden up to us again. Just like the cherubims were in the entrance to the garden, the cherubims were on the entrance to the holiest of holies. And when God ripped that from the top to the bottom, he was showing the opening of the Garden of Eden. So we're going back home into the garden where God created us to be. Remember Jesus said you're going to be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom? Well, man was given dominion inside the garden over the earth. And so when we come into the kingdom, spiritually speaking, I'm in the garden with God. I'm back in the throne again. Hallelujah. And I'm seated with Jesus on his own throne. Did you know not only is Jesus on that throne, but you're seated together with him? Oh, I'm going to show you how this all went. plays out in the word of the Lord. So Hebrews 4:16, when he says, come on, believers, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. Say it again. Mercy. What was the Ark of the Covenant split called? The mercy seat. Go to the throne of grace. That's where you're going to find mercy. And you're going to find grace to help in the time of need. Now watch this. The same book of Hebrews, chapter 10 now, since this is where we need to go. Chapter 4 said, go to the throne of grace. Look what chapter 10 says. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Just like verse 16 and 4, come boldly. Now have boldness to enter. But instead of saying to the throne of grace, he says, enter into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody quoted it tonight. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Hallelujah. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm not a way. I said I am the way. Hallelujah. I'm not just one of many truths. I am the truth. And I'm not just one of many lies. I am the life. Don't kid yourself. There's only one truth in the world. Not many variations. There's only one way to God. And Jesus said, I'm it. And just like it says, we enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. The veil is his flesh. Just like he said, I am the door. He said, I am the veil. You can't get to the throne. You can't get to the Father except you go by me. I'm the veil. You got to go through the veil to get. And guess what? My veil, my flesh, was ripped when I died on the cross. And to represent that I'm the only way, when you never had a way before me, Moses couldn't bring you in there. Noah couldn't bring you in there. I'm the only one that opened up the way. Because as soon as my body died, which is sacrifice, how many know we needed the sacrifice? When I was sacrificed, boom! That's why the veil in the temple ripped open. They didn't tell us the story. Hallelujah. And now, he said, go to the throne of grace boldly. Chapter 10, go to the holiest of holies boldly. The throne of grace is in the holiest of holies. Just put it together. And it's talking about the same place. That's why the Ark of the Covenant represents the throne of Jesus. That's why the Ark of the Covenant saw that rod come to life. Because Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Hallelujah. Oh my. Praise God. There's so much I can say about that. But we're going to move. So we enter the holiest of holies, which is Zion up in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, into the garden. Come on back, mankind. It's like Jesus went up to that sword, and that sword slew him, and he didn't die for his sins. How many know he took our sins away? Hallelujah. He died for our sins. And then, because only the soul that sinneth shall die, and how many know Jesus never sinned? He raised himself back up from the dead, and he looked to all of us and said, come on! Jesus up into the holiest of holies. Hallelujah. And furthermore than that, he sat down on the throne. He said, come here, sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. It's not more than one throne. It's the great big throne of Jesus Christ, and we're seated together with him in heavenly places. Old Covenant tried to do that. Sinai tried to accomplish that. That's the difference between the old and the new covenants. That's one of many. In Exodus 19 and 20, look at this. God came down upon Mount Sinai. Everybody say down. So the Lord came down, because he's up in glory, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up. So God came down, Moses came up. But that's the earth, the old covenant, that's Sinai. But when you get into the book of Revelation, and you read John having a revelation of heaven being opened, He said in chapter 4 and 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He's seeing heaven now. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And just like Moses, John was told to come up, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John said immediately when he said that, there's something about the Word of God that gets a hold of you. How many have felt it tonight during the Word of God? I'm not preaching myself any more than Paul and Peter preach themselves, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. And if we will preach the Word of the Apostles and the doctrine of God, then life is going to come, and you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it surging through your spirit. It's resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. You can feel it. Hallelujah. And John felt that as soon as he heard that word of God come up hither. And immediately he said, I was in the spirit. Praise God. Woo. And behold, a throne. The first thing he saw was the throne. Hallelujah. Set in heaven. And the first one he saw was one sat on the throne. But notice, God didn't come down. On Sinai, God had to come down. Moses had to come out. But in heaven, God didn't move anywhere. He didn't have to come down because the new covenant isn't like the old. The new covenant opens heaven up for you. All that the old could open was shadows. All that the old could do is build an ark. It looks like the throne, but the real one's up there. And build the holiest of holies. It's a model of the real, but the real holiest of holies is up there. And I know we're not Sinai, but I'm going to open up Zion to you one day. So God didn't come down. John just came all the way up. Hallelujah. Amen. I can almost picture John going up, and then he comes to her. Maybe he can see Mount Sinai a little ways off. He said, hey, Sinai, Moses can only go as far as you on the old covenant Pentecost. But look at me. I'm going past you, Sinai. I'm going right up into the holiest of heaven. When God told you to build the holiest, that was just a pattern of what I'm going into. God's bringing me up all the way. And he went on up into heaven itself. Hallelujah. And he saw the throne. He saw the seraphims and the four beasts. He saw the 24 elders. And he went all the way. And that's open to every one of you that are born again. And if you're not born again, what are you waiting for? Hallelujah. How many know there's nothing like this Holy Ghost that's inside of us? There's nothing like this anointing. There's nothing like this power from on high. There's nothing like this kingdom holy power. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. And in the new covenant, we enter the holiest of heaven. And not just a power. And not only that, we go to the throne of mercy. But in Ephesians 1 and 20, I did get ahead of myself. But look at this. The power of God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, resurrection. And it did more than resurrect him. It set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where's the right hand? Somebody say heavenly places. That's where the right hand is. Well, look what he did to us in chapter 2, verse 6. He raised us up together. He raised us from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead in chapter 1. But then now we come into the equation, and he raises up together with Jesus. I've been raised with Jesus. But better than that, just like Jesus went on the throne, he seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. And where is that right hand? It's in heavenly places. So if we're together with Christ in heavenly places, then we're sitting with him on the throne. Hallelujah, you're sitting with him on the throne. And God just gave this to my church here a week ago. When I was not my church, Jesus' church. But when I was preaching, it hit me like a thunderbolt. Folks, people think they're not good enough and they need to get better for God to be happy. After God caused them to be born again. Have you been born again and then you feel like you're no good? Has that thought ever entered your mind? This is where people struggle. And I'm going to show you why they struggle. Because they need their eyes open to see something. And that's what the word of the Lord is here for tonight. If you ever felt that you looked in the mirror and said, I hate you, and you're a born again Christian, it happens. And if you ever looked and said, I can't stand what I see, I hate myself. These people say this, these people say that, I'm no good. You need to listen to what God's saying and pay no attention to that trash. Because God is saying, I already raised you from the dead when you were in trespasses and sins and you couldn't do anything to impress me. I raised you from the death of trespasses and sins. Do you know Jesus was in the tomb physically dead? Well, when the power of the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus was translated to work on us, we weren't in graves, but we were dead, but we were dead in trespasses and sins. And when you're dead in trespasses and sins, God sees you just as though somebody is useless and in the grave and they're good for nothing. They're dead. That's what it's like when we were sinners. And he said, while you were in that dead, useless state, you couldn't do anything to impress me. I resurrected you and made you alive. I quickened you together. I raised you. You were actually resurrected from the death of trespasses and sins when you got saved. Do you know there's two resurrections? The Bible says the first resurrection, and that means there's going to be a second one. The first one, listen to me, the first one is non-physical. It's when God raises you up with Jesus and you're saved. That's the first resurrection. And the second one, body, get ready, because this one's going to affect you. The second one is when this mortality puts on immortality. Somebody say, I was resurrected with Jesus Christ when I was born again. Clap unto the Lord, because that's what the Bible says. He's not going to raise us. He has raised us. That's already done. The body's going to catch up one day, and I can't wait for that. But I'm glad I got the first resurrection, because Revelation says if you don't have part in the first resurrection, you're going to the second death. But those who have part in the first resurrection, they shall not taste of the second death. In other words, the second death is the lake of fire. If you read, there's two deaths too. You know how the first resurrection is not physical? The second one is? Well, it flip-flops for death. The first death is physical. And the second one is the lake of fire. And if you don't have the first resurrection, you're going to taste of the second death. You're going to go to the lake of fire. And God is saying, I don't want anyone to go to that lake of fire. I want you all to be born of the water and of the Spirit. I want you to be resurrected with me, hallelujah. And furthermore, I want you to sit with me on my throne, hallelujah. So that when I'm sitting on the great white throne and I'm judging all those people and everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going into the second death, which is the lake of fire, you're going to be sitting here with me. Know you not that you shall judge angels? He's going to judge us. Not for heaven or hell, if you're a Christian. He's going to judge us for your rewards. You did this. This didn't save you. But I've got a reward, you daughter. You did this for my kingdom. Give her some stars on her crown. Hallelujah. You did this. You did that. And that's when we're going to get rewarded. Aren't you glad that it's not going to be a day of fright for us? It's going to be a day of rewarding. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'm going to actually look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. You got nothing to fear if you're in the grace of Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. step aside and let him move. He's on the throne. I might be sitting with him, but he's still Lord of Lords. You know who the kings are over whom he is king? King of kings? Low kings. He raised you up and made you kings and priests by the blood. The blood not only washed our sins away in Revelation 1 and 4, but in Revelation 1, 5 and 6, he made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. He's king of kings and he's high priest. Amen. Well, we're kings and we're priests. So if Jesus did that when you were a sinner and resurrected you, the only thing greater to you that he could do, and he did, is set you with him on his throne. And you think you have to impress God? Who do I think I am if I think I've got to do something good to impress him? He did what makes me pleasing to him, not what I do. Somebody say it's what he did. And some of you that are struggling, and some of you that look down on yourself, you've been listening to the liar. You've been listening to the devil. And he's disguised his thoughts as if they were your own, and you thought it was just you talking. But it wasn't. It was the devil. Because if he resurrected you, and he took you from that place of death all the way to his throne, he couldn't do anything more for you. That's the greatest thing to be done. Angels don't sit with him. To which the angels said he at any time, sit down on my right hand. Hebrews 1 says, angels aren't sitting where you are. And so when you start thinking you're no good, you need to say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get those lies out of my mind now. I cast them out now by the blood of the Lamb. So stop beating yourself down. Stop listening to the word of the devil and listen to the word of God. This is going to set some of you free like you've never been free before. It's going to set you free so much that if you do make a mistake, and we will, that you're not thinking God hates me. No. You just have to say, Jesus, forgive me. And he says, now, get back up off the floor and sit down with me again. Well, I didn't even know. Remember the prodigal son? He comes home, and the father kills the fat calf. The father puts the ring on his finger. Give me the best robe, like Joseph. Huh? Give me the best robe and put it on him. And the son comes by, the Pharisee, the older brother. Do you know it wasn't just the younger one, it was the older brother. And the older brother is like a Pharisee. And he says, he no sooner came back. And all of a sudden, you didn't give him a chance to go work for it. You didn't even give him a chance to clean himself up. He's still dirty. You didn't even give him a chance to prove himself to you. You killed a fatted calf right away. Well, that's the gospel. Hello? We can't clean ourselves up to go to the one that's supposed to clean us. You don't heal your broken arm and then go to the hospital. They fix it there. Hallelujah. He washes you, not you. You don't get in the bathtub and then after you've already cleaned yourself. Jesus is the bathtub. Jesus is the cleanser. Hallelujah. He's the one that did the work. You don't have to go out in the field and earn this. It's by grace are you saved, not of works, lest you boast. And the old covenant says, do this and you'll have life. Do that and you'll have life. In fact, Leviticus 18 and 5 says, can somebody give me Leviticus 18 and 5? Hallelujah. Which I'm sorry if I get there first, I'm reading it. But holler it out if you get it. Leviticus 18 and 5. Here's the old covenant. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. You'll live if you do what I say. Nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. Peter said, you're telling us to get the Gentiles circumcised when neither we nor our fathers were able to bear that yoke of Moses. And you're telling the Gentiles to do it? And God already gave them the Holy Ghost. We already baptized them in Jesus' name. What do you mean they got to do works of the law now? We couldn't bear it, and they can't bear it. Don't expect God to tell them to do this. And the Pharisees got all upset, but Peter was preaching the truth. And folks, If God put you on the throne with him, don't even think for a second that you need to do something to make him happy with you, because it's not a matter of worth. The prodigal says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And then when he goes to the father, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And the father just ignored that nonsense. He said, give me the best coat. Kill the fatted calf. Because it's not a matter of worth, but new birth. He was his son. Any mother that's here tonight, other people might cast your son down. Other people might look down at it, no matter whether he's a drug addict or this or that. But that's your son. That's your son. And there's the love of a mother that goes beyond the critics. And folks, that's just a shadow of the love of God. Because when he causes his children to be born again, hallelujah, he loves them with a love beyond our imagination. A rich, wealthy woman got out of a limousine in downtown New York City with all these expensive $1,000 clothes on. And while she was going through to the office, this beggar came up to her. And he was just dirty and smelling and begging. And then the chauffeur came and grabbed him and threw him against the wall. And that woman said, take your hands off of that boy. That's my son. It's not a matter of worth. It was that she gave birth to him. And that's the way God is. Son, you said, are you worthy? It's not a matter of worth. It's birth. You're my son. This who was dead is now alive. He's come home. And you, older brother, you didn't get it at all the years you were living here. Just like a lot of Christians are critical. And they're judgmental. And you know why they're judgmental? Because they still got some old covenant in them. They still got rules on rocks in them. They don't know the mercy of God. And they might be genuinely born of the water, genuinely born of the Spirit, but they never got a revelation of the Holy Ghost's new covenant grace. And if you're being condemned and think of nothing, you didn't get the revelation either. But it's here tonight. How many are getting it tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. I just feel this in the Holy Ghost. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that these truths come alive in our sister and everybody else here. Bring us alive. Bring us to life. Give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, to whom we look at with open face and we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah, God. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. We are in the actual Garden of Eden, but it's not just on earth. We're seated in heaven. We're in Zion. And the tree of life, when our brother, Pastor Gary, said there's the knowledge of good and evil, and there's life. Just like in the original garden, we're in the garden, and there's two trees. We're still there. And everyone that thinks they're not good enough, because God never opened their eyes to grace, the devil's still pulling them over that knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. Good and evil. Do this and you'll be good. Don't do that and you won't be evil. You just have to know what's good and know what's evil. And then you can make yourself good. In fact, you can make yourself so good, you'll be like God. You won't need him. Why did he allow that tree to be there? Because when God created us, he created us to depend on him. And he put man through a little test. I'm going to put the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan, remember Jesus said Satan was a murderer from the beginning? Satan heard God say to Adam, the day you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And as soon as he heard that commandment, Satan said, now's my chance. And he took that commandment like it was a dagger. And he went up to that woman, and he was going to kill her with that dagger. He was going to kill her with what God said. As soon as God said, you're going to be threatened with death if you eat that tree. You will die, Adam. You'll die. Satan said, that's it. I'm going to take that and make man die. I'm not going to let man live forever and cast me out of the earth like God cast me out of heaven. I'm going to be king down here. I couldn't make it up there. I'm going to be it right here. And he says, I'm going to kill them so I can have it. And when he took that law that God said to Adam, and he went to the woman, he stuck it in her heart when he said, you'll be like God to know good and evil. You won't need him. And God created us to need him. We break down when we don't rely on him. Do you ever put a little tiny Volkswagen engine into a big transport tractor? It'll break down. But we were intended to have the power of the Holy Ghost in us, get the fruit of life, eat that, and get the power of God, and we won't break down. But when we try to do it on our own without the Holy Ghost, we break down. And then when she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it and ate, and gave it to her husband, and he ate, and they died. And Paul said in Romans chapter 7, just like the devil used that law as a dagger, sin. I don't have it on the slide right here, so I'm just going to have to read it. It comes later on, but I've been in the spirit here, and sometimes you just have to leave the slides alone. But in Romans 7, it says in verse 9, let's go back to verse 8. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Anybody know what concupiscence is? It's every wicked thought you can imagine. The Bible, the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not covet. And sin did the same thing Satan did. I'm using this. I'm using this as a weapon. And I'm going to kill Paul with it. Now this is before Paul got the truth. But he says, sin did that. It took occasion by the commandment. He said in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? How many know the law is not sin? The law is not sin. It's good. God forbid, I wouldn't know what sin is but by the law. For I have not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But as soon as I read that, sin jumped in and took the chance. It took the opportunity. And it made me think of all the covetous thoughts my mind could contain. And I couldn't take it. And then the Bible tells us that Paul went through something as the dagger of sin. Amen. Using the law. The law was good. But you know how rotten, wicked sin is? It will use a good law to kill you. It was good that God told Adam, don't go to that tree, you're going to die. But sin took that. And that devil took a good warning from God and killed Adam and Eve with it. That's how wicked sin is. And it took that law, that good, holy law. It took it. Amen. And he said in verse 9, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, as soon as I read, thou shalt not covet, sin revived, and I died. And you know Paul didn't drop dead physically on the ground. But remember what we said? We were with in death when God saved us. When you sin and transgress, you die. That's death. And when Paul saw thou shalt not covet, how many ever tell a little child, don't you touch those cookies? And something rises up. I'm going to touch those cookies. In fact, I'm going to touch a whole bunch of them. And I'm not going to want to touch them. I'm going to bite them. And I'm going to taste them. And I'm going to swallow those things. There's a rebellion inside of us when you're told, don't do this. That's sin. And as soon as Paul was told, thou shalt not covet, sin said, you're going to covet. And sin took that beautiful holy law and killed Paul with it. Because there's still two trees in the garden tonight. And if you don't learn the word of God, do you know there's some meetings, there's some teachings, there's some churches you'd never hear teaching. That's why I was so excited. I didn't even know you'd actually call this teaching ministry. A teaching ministry. Because the prophets will point the way. The prophet finger. The highest finger on the hand is the middle one. The evangelist is seen more than any other preachers. And then the ring finger is the pastor. He's got the shepherd's ring on. The thumb is the apostle. He pulls it all together. But the little teacher gets right in there and digs out of the dirt that the other ministries don't touch. I'm digging dirt tonight. And I think it's kind of prophetic. I'm digging into the ear so you can hear the word of the Lord and get that lie of the devil out of your head and get the truth of God, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah! Because even after you're born again, if you don't learn the word, you can have revival meetings all the time and never learn the word. You can want to see people healed at every service. That's why people hop from one service to another and never teach and take any teaching. That's why they don't have a pastor, because they're just, I want to see miracles. I want to get prophesied over. Oh, prophets! I was preaching once, and we had a prophet in, he was prophesying, and somebody after service just came to me and said, I'm not coming to these meetings anymore. I said, why? He didn't prophesy over me. Well, if that's all I love of God, you see the self-centeredness? Folks, it appeals to the flesh to see the dead raised. And God does it. It appeals to the flesh to see somebody's deaf ear open and they can hear what the preacher's saying when they couldn't before. I pray for the sick myself. It appeals to the flesh with a broken leg is suddenly healed. And that's the thing. It gets a hold of sinners. But that's not what's supposed to keep us saved. That gets us in. That's what the evangelist does. He brings the sinners in. But once they're in, get a pastor. Hallelujah. And once they're in, get some teaching into them. Hallelujah. Because you need to know. You need to know. You need to know the truth. And it'll set you free. Otherwise, you'll be struggling your whole Christian life. You'll be up and down like a roller coaster. Every time you go to a revival meeting, you'll be at the altar every single year. Because you never learned the word. And you never learned how to throw the devil's thoughts out of your mind. But if you just will learn the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. I was preaching this message once, and a woman came to her Bible study on a Tuesday night Bible study. And then she couldn't quit smoking. And I was preaching this. I said, that's what's going to the tree of knowledge of good evil. I gotta make myself stop. I gotta make myself stop. You see, when the Ten Commandments said don't commit adultery, I gotta not make myself there. Make myself. You're not committing adultery. You're not committing adultery. Oh boy, now I want to do it more than ever. But I can't do it. I got to make myself stop. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is life. Amen. And the new covenant says, you lean on the Spirit and you, adultery will be gone. Here's the trees. The old tree, the knowledge of good evil, says, just know what's good, know what's evil. And God said, I don't care if it's the tree of good and evil. I don't care if there's good in it. Because it is good to make yourself not want to do that. That's good. But it will still kill you. Because you don't have the power to do it. But you know what Jesus says? He didn't say, I am the way, the truth, and the knowledge of good and evil.
He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, I am come that they might have the knowledge of good and evil. No! I am come that they might have life! Not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, life! The tree of knowledge of good and evil killed man! I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly! Hallelujah!
And so here's how you believe God. When I told you how to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, make yourself stop sinning. Some of you that are condemned and having a hard struggle, you are trying to make yourself good. And I wouldn't be able to do it any more than you could if that's the way I lived. But I don't live by that. I live by the Holy Ghost power. And so Romans 6 and 13, I'm going to close with tonight. I just got through half of this tonight. But Romans 6 and 13, I'm going to put my Bible on. Look at this. Here's how you eat of the fruit of life. Get ready for this. And the musicians, get ready here tonight. Romans 6 and 13. Here's how you depend on the Holy Ghost. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. In fact, let me bring it on the screen so you can see it. Can you see that? Look at verse 13. Right here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That means every time you go pray. Because remember what he said in Hebrews? Go to the throne of grace to find mercy to help you. If you need help, go to, this is what people having a struggle don't do. They're going to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, trying to make themselves stop. No, go to God. Go to the throne of mercy to find help. He says, present yourselves therefore to God as those that are alive from the dead. Do you believe you're alive from the dead? Why don't you start talking to God like you are? God, I'm alive from the dead. And so, I got your power in me. And not only yourselves, number two, yield your members, your hands. The hands that punch. The legs that take you to places you shouldn't go. The words that come out of your mouth that you shouldn't say. Those are all your members. Give them to God. It says, your members as instruments for righteousness unto God. What's an instrument? When Brother Beardy takes that guitar, it's an instrument. And what does it do? Does the instrument just start playing by itself? It wouldn't be an instrument if it played by itself. He uses it as an instrument. And when you give your hands to God, and when you give your feet to God, and you give that little red devil behind the pearly white gates to God, He is going to take them and use them as an instrument and answer your prayer. And you are now eating from the tree of life. You're saying, I don't have the power, God. My natural life, that's all I got with that tree. And I can't take it. I keep dying. But Lord, your life is like wings of eagles. I'm not an eagle. I don't have wings as eagles. I'm a human. But you give me wings as eagles, just like God's spirit is natural to us. It's alien to us. But He gives us His spirit, and we won't faint. He gives us His spirit, and we won't get weary. Instead of trying to read through the knowledge of good and evil, try praying and waiting on the Lord. And if you wait on the Lord and say, God, give me strength, give me power. You said that you never get tired. Let your power that doesn't make you tired come to me. Hallelujah. Let your strength that makes you never grow weary come to me. And He says, I'll give you something that's not natural to you. I'll give you like eagle's wings are on the back of a human being, because I didn't create you to have eagle's wings. I created you to depend on mine. Ooh, hallelujah! That's life! That's how you live! But too many Christians in the garden keep going over there. And I've seen them at the same altar every revival meeting. They never learned to go to the tree of life. And you know what? One sister was at Houston. Somebody said tonight that somebody, in this last night, that Aaron, I think maybe you don't have to call on the pastor all the time. Because you know why? Because the pastor taught you to call on God. And this is what the ministry will do. It'll teach you how to rely on Him. Because folks, we aren't the mediator between God and men. Jesus says there's one mediator. There's one. And it's the man Christ Jesus. It's not the man Mike Bloom. It's not the man Pastor Gary. It's not the man Brother Art. It's Jesus Christ. And we will teach you to go to Him. And when you start struggling, fall on those knees. Present yourself to God as alive from the dead. And then say, God, take my hands. Take my tongue. Take my mouth. Take my legs. And use them as instruments. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will start working on you. Hallelujah. And He finally says, you got it now, didn't you? You finally got it. You're not making yourself good by works. You're not trying to impress me by law anymore. You're understanding the new covenant. And He will anoint you. And He will anoint you. And one woman that was in our congregation, when I first started pastoring in 1990, heard me preach this and came back the next Sunday. She said, Pastor Luke, I prayed, God, use me, give me to somebody to witness to. And He did it. He did it. Somebody came, and then God started using my mouth. He started using my tongue. And He gave me all the right words to say. It worked! And remember that woman I told you that came to church was cigarette addicted, couldn't quit. She heard me preach this, and then she said to my brother-in-law who invited her, God took my smoking away. He took my smoking away. What? Yes, God, I feel He took it away. And she never touched another cigarette the rest of her life. Woo, hallelujah. My grandfather, I told you about him. He was the drunk of the town. People wouldn't let him in the houses. He was so drunk. And he went down and bowed a little apostolic altar and gave it over to Jesus. And this alcoholic never touched another drop of liquor from that moment on. God set him free. That's grace.
Woo, hallelujah.
You know what God is? Make yourself stop. That's show not drink. Okay. And you can't do it. And sin says, all right, I'm going to stab him with another knife. And he keeps on killing me. But when you go to the Holy Ghost is stronger than sin. And sin can't match it. And what the law could not do, Jesus Christ became in sinful flesh and did what the law could not do. If we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the condemnation goes. Bye-bye, condemnation. Let's all stand together tonight. And let's come to the music. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.